The only reason I don't drink Sprite constantly is because I don't want to weigh 300,000 pounds.
Dude, but Sprite Zero tastes better than Sprite.
I'm going to switch to Sprite Zero.
I think I would probably say Sprite Zero or Coke Zero. No. Sprite Zero because it tastes a little more like water, I think. At least it's closer to water than...
Why would you buy that and drink it then?
I can F with a LaCroix, though. Like, dude.
Yeah, ice but cold, dude, crisp LaCroix. Think about how many people... Because it's less a question of, like, what's your favorite drink? It's, if you think about it, it's actually more of a question of totalitarianism. Because it's like you're becoming this dictator of drinks. And everybody has to drink what you choose.
The drinktator.
Yeah, exactly. Hello and welcome to the Backlog Bunch, the show where we talk games and video game backlogs, of which we have so many games inside of them. I'm Crimbo, and today I'm joined by Asara, Andrew, and Nikki, and we will be discussing the controversy of adding to cart. In other words, what happens that causes you to go out there and buy a new video game, even when you already have so many left that you have not played currently in your backlog. Two quick notes of housekeeping. This episode is dropping on Friday, October 11th. The next episode will be dropping 2 weeks from today. And in tune with the spooky season of Halloween, which I love and adore because I just do, we will be releasing a very scary episode. You'll have to tune in to see what that's going to be all about. Finally, if you've been a part of the community for a while, you might remember us streaming the haunted PS1 demo disc from a few years ago. Rumor has it there is a 2024 edition dropping this year before Halloween. The haunted PS1 demo disc is a collection of short and sweet demos. Some will ultimately be complete games. Some of them are built to be demos specifically. But they're all usually in the style of that retro PS1, really blocky Final Fantasy VII style art. So if that comes out before October, if you're in the Discord, you will get pinged when we decide a date and time that I will be streaming that and playing through some of the content in that game. Check the show notes if you'd like a link to our Discord, if you want to be a part of that. It's always a very fun stream. We'll be streaming on YouTube. And if you're subscribed, notification bell, all that kind of stuff, you'll probably get a link to that as well when it goes live. So without further ado, let's get to the episode. What happens that makes you buy a game? So that's what we'll be talking about in a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about what everyone is playing. So right before we started recording, I put my baby down to sleep. And then I went to my office and I booted up Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which is a modern continuation of the classic Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi series, or I guess just Budokai. I think Tenkaichi was the third one.
Man, that's so many words I don't know.
And it is awesome, and I only got to play 30 seconds of it.
Before we got on?
Well, my wife got home, and I wanted to help her with some stuff. So I actually will not have anything to say about that game right now, aside from I'm excited to play it eventually. But
this is incredible content.
Yes. I am still playing Deadlock, as we talked about last episode, and they just dropped a new patch today, which I'm very excited about.
We're going to play after this podcast is all right.
Yeah. I mean, most likely, yeah. But the game I will actually talk about is Mortal Shell. Mortal Shell I got for free through some Epic Game Store free game giveaway. Mortal Shell is a Souls-like that sort of the gimmick in this game is you can harden like Metapod. And essentially before you get hit, you can turn your character into stone and you don't take any damage from the attack. And one other fun mechanic in this game is when your health drops to zero, instead of dying outright, your character sort of bursts out of the armor that they were wearing, which is the shell, if you will.
Yep.
Then basically, if you take one hit, because you have no armor on, you'll die. So you want to get back to your armor as fast as possible, and then your health will go back to full, and it's kind of like you get a new life, another try. You can also parry. You can't, like, block with a shield. You can do some dodge rolling, stuff like that. But that's kind of the idea of, like, the cool gimmick that this game has. It has all the trappings of a Souls-like where, you know, the characters all speak in vague poetry and it's creepy and dark. And I just beat it late last night.
I stayed up because I was like, I know this game's almost over. I want to finish it. Man, it is really just excessively mediocre. Every time you start to explore one of the gameplay systems, you realize, oh, that's it? Okay. And oh, incredible. My goodness. In the final boss fight, so spoilers for anyone who is thinking about trying to play this. you fight this character, the only like large boss fight in the game. All the boss fights are just like normal people size. So the camera, you realize, does not function well in a boss fight when the boss is huge, which is really bad.
Yeah.
And then
it's a problem in good games.
Yes. And then even if you have your weapon upgraded to the max, you're doing such little damage that it's the boss is this big damage sponge. And then the boss also makes waves that appear from the ground like water waves. And you've never seen that in the game before either. So you might try to dodge through them. But if you don't dodge at the right time, which is not clear, you will get swept into the wave and you will take damage. If you dodge into the wave at low health and you happen to not have dodged correctly, you will not only get knocked out of your armor, but you will then get caught in the wave and you will immediately die.
Oh, fun.
So it just undermines the whole mechanic that it's trained you on the whole game?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I think good games prepare you for things and they follow through to the end. And then you're like, oh, I practiced for this. Yep. Not the case in this boss fight at all. Not to mention the giant black hole that the boss creates out of nowhere that doesn't, it actually just looks, I thought my game is broken. It looked like a big black, like graphical glitch.
Are you positive it wasn't a graphical glitch judging by the quality of this game?
Well, it's weird because if you walk into it, you get swept up into it and eventually you like kind of die.
What is happening in this game, my dude?
Really, the rest of the game is like normal, you know, exploration, fighting some baddies, opening chests, all that kind of stuff. And then it just takes a really weird turn at the end. And overall, it is very middle of the road, but it did itself in, and I only finished it because I wanted to say that my time spent was not wasted. So that is Mortal Shell. It's worth a few dollars. And
a few dollars.
Yeah,
I love that recommendation so much. It's worth a few dollars.
Yeah, if I could recommend it to anyone, I would say,
who's it for? Who's this game for?
This game is for someone who has played every other Souls-like that exists,
even The Surge.
I feel like they share a lot of the same mediocrity.
Oof. That's rough.
But I think the gameplay in this is actually better than The Surge, but The Surge has more interesting like leveling and character progression. So you know what? The person who plays Mortal Shell is probably the person who can get this very cheap and is just like looking to explore more games in the genre. So that is Mortal Shell.
Chris, I have to tell you, nothing inspires me to play a game like saying it's worth a few dollars.
Except if it's free.
That's, yes.
Free? I mean,
if a free game is worth a few dollars, then it's good.
It's net positive. I hear.
Asara, what have you been playing?
I have been doing the 30 games in 30 days challenge that we had set out for ourselves. And so I've just been playing a little bit of everything. But the main ones that I've liked so far have been Beasts of Maravia Island, Subsurface Circular, and Geometric Sniper 2, which are a complete grab bag of genres. Geometric Sniper is, you are, well, in the one that I played, you are a little square with a beret on, and you are a sniper who has to take out targets to save Paris. And it's basically a kind of weird high stress hidden object game, because you're given a target, but everybody is made up of a shape wearing some assortment of accessories. So you have to find the specific little square that's wearing a bow tie and has angry eyebrows and a monocle and shoot him in a crowd of about 200 or 300 shapes.
Geometry sniper?
Geometric sniper. There's three of them. There's geometric sniper, geometric sniper Blood in Paris, and geometric sniper Z, which I'm playing now, where they're all zombie shapes.
There was this was like a flash game, like back in the adigangames.com days.
I have them on Switch.
Is this one of those like you bought like some, I don't know, did you bought this for like 60 cents or something on sale?
No, these guys I bought because I was interested in them. I like hidden object games a lot, and it seemed like a twist on the genre that I hadn't seen before. Played the first one, absolutely loved it, and then bought the other two when they came out.
I mean, they're like $2 each.
Yeah, they are cheap games, but I quite like them. They all have about 3 to 4 game modes as well, so there's some pretty good replayability.
It's like a hidden picture game.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a couple of targets that you have to find and take them out. And usually there's a timer, and in this particular one, there are counter snipers. So every 20 seconds or so, you have to duck or else they're going to get shot. And so it kind of breaks up your searching, and you kind of have to figure out where you were, keep looking. Subsurface Circular was just a visual novel by the people who made Thomas Was Alone. I really liked it. I have the sequel Quarantine Circular that I might end up just playing as part of this 30-day challenge because I quite liked it. But if not, it'll be played shortly after the 30-day challenge. And then Beasts of Maravilla Island is like, if you ask your parents to buy Pokemon Snap and they say, no, we have Pokemon Snap at home, that's Beasts of Maravilla Island. They're all these weird fantastical creatures that you're taking pictures of. I've had it a long time. I've picked it up to try to play it at least 3 times and put it back down, and finally sat through it and played through all of it, and then got very mad at myself because it's not that long and I could have beaten it the first few times I picked it up. Those are the 3 highlights so far. Other than I just finished The Adventures of Captain Spirit tonight as the prologue to Life is Strange 2. Oh, I quite like that as well.
Does that follow the characters that are in Life is Strange 2? Or is it like standalone?
From what I understand, the character that you play as in Captain Spirit is like an NPC in Life is Strange 2, and you see the main characters at some point during it.
Okay.
So you're around the same area, same time. It's kind of like a somewhat connected prologue.
That's pretty cool.
It was very good.
It was very cute. I liked it.
Yeah, Geometric Sniper is reminding me of oh my gosh, what's this game called?
It actually is also in Paris.
Cats Hidden in Paris.
Did you say cats?
Yes, cats.
There's a million of those on there.
Cats Hidden in Paris. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them.
The
Cats Hidden series is massive.
That's a Chris game if I ever heard one.
Yeah, it was free, and I found it one time, and I was like, I want more of these little. I like hidden object games.
So, do you like cats?
I do.
There you go. It's everything.
So, as far as your goal with your 30 games, 30 days challenge, are you trying to play through a lot of these like short, simple, sweet games that are in your backlog?
Yeah, most of them are around 1 hour playtime. I've put a couple of longer ones for the weekend, and it's more of a, I want to get these games off my backlog, give myself the little motivation boost of, you know, knowing that I've cleared through 30 games, and then use that to move on to bigger and better. But also, I mean, like, I've played 10 now and really liked 4 of the 10 and thought 2 more were pretty good. So
nice.
It's not a net loss so far for me anyway.
Nice. That's cool.
Andrew, what are you playing?
Oh, geez. Well, we're going to talk. I came up with the topic for the night because I caved on two different games. Here's the deal. Caving is a big deal for me because I don't buy games a lot, and I always feel bad when I do. I obliterated my like monthly budget for games in the first like 3 days of October. So I've been playing 2.5 things. I've been playing Frostpunk 2, Deadlock, and Space Marine 2. So Frostpunk 2 is very, very good. It got like B+ reviews, like 80, 85s. Because it does, like Frostpunk 1 made you feel so involved in the city because the city was so small and so tight-knit and so in danger all the time. Like having 100 citizens felt like a big deal. And so having to choose between those really micro level decisions was really interesting. And Frostpunk 2 trades that in for a way bigger scale. Like at the beginning of the game, your city is, I think, 8,000 or 9,000 people, which is way bigger than you'll end the game in Frostpunk 1. But it has this really cool system of factions. And so you have to do all of these, like every choice you make makes part of the city happy, and usually two or three other groups of people mad at you, which all of those things have consequences, both good and bad. There are ways you can use certain parts of the population being mad at you to your advantage. There are ways that the people, certain factions loving you, can be really beneficial. But it's doing everything that Frostpunk 1 did really well, which is like it's making me make really hard choices and deal with the consequences of those choices. It's a great buy. Are either of you city builder people? I don't think Chris is like.
I'm on the fence. I'm occasional.
Kinda, I am
not.
I'm yeah. kind of too.
And Frostpunk 2 is on Game Pass right now, and I will be playing it. Game Pass? Yep.
If it's on Game Pass, you should try it out. And let me know when you do, because I think you really like it.
Oh, I will. I love the first one.
I've also been playing Deadlock. I can't stop. Deadlock has a problem. I would be done with Frostpunk 2 if I had not played Deadlock, for sure. What's there to say about Deadlock that I haven't said?
What's keeping you there?
Everything. I know that's an annoying answer. Deadlock just has all of the things I want in a competitive game, and it does all of them better than most competitive games. Like, the third-person shooter aspect I was worried about, but it feels really good, which also tones down like how sweaty the shooting is in some level. Like, I'm 32. I'm not going to be a CSGO professional at this point in my life, but I can be good at Deadlock. The abilities all feel good. The characters feel balanced. The item, yeah, it's very good. I will not rant about Deadlock longer. Space Marine 2. This is a funny story. This is the justice. Like, this is the natural consequences of me buying games that I don't have in my budget. So, I bought Space Marine 2 because I love Warhammer 40K. I was a huge 40K player for a long time. And I was so excited, and my performance is terrible, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, it's like the game looks really good, but like the audio stutters, they're really bad. They're like in and out. Animations like freeze halfway and characters like glide around the scene. Like, it's like the immersion is just shattered and it's performing terribly. And I've done like 2 hours of troubleshooting. I can't figure it out.
Does this have anything to do with your recent talk about buying a new computer?
Yeah. yeah, it does. So here's the deal. I did not check the system requirements for this game because. Oh. Because I just assume that my computer's fine. But I don't know if you knew this, but if you don't buy a new CPU since 2017, eventually it's not going to work very well. And I checked the system requirements on like a last ditch. Like, you know, I wonder. And yep, my CPU is the generation before the minimum requirement generation.
Oh, no.
I know. So I have this freaking game sitting in my library that I want to play more than anything, and I can't because my computer doesn't run it. And I've played past the 2-hour mark, so I can't return it. So I guess I just have to buy a new computer.
Yikes. That's going to be an expensive game.
It is going to be. Look, it's time. All right. I need to do it anyway. Not that I felt pretty stupid. I was like I spent, seriously, I have 4 hours of playtime in this game and nearly none of it is playtime. It's troubleshooting. Like, I have spent so much time trying to make this game work and to just realize, oh, Andrew, your computer is old, was depressing.
Yeah.
But it did, before that happened, my wife and I had a conversation, a budget conversation on me buying a new computer. And that's in our budget for Black Friday this year. So that was going to happen anyway. So I will play it in November or December, hopefully.
Well, Rip, thanks for sharing about how sad that is.
It's rough, dude.
Yes, we wish you the best. Thoughts and prayers. Nikki, what about you?
Yes, I have also dug into the 30 games in 30 days challenge, except 31 games, because there's 31 days in October. Anyway, I've been playing also shorter games that I can beat, because I don't want to leave stuff half finished. So primarily I've been planning some old retro games that's just like, I'm not going to play these without a reason, so I better do it now. And then I've been playing some games from Humble Vault. Do they call it Vault now? Or Trove? Ooh,
yeah, the Trove.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we know some of those games, don't we, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually gone through and played a couple of those, so I'll be interested what you've played from it.
Yeah, like Woden and Before I Forget.
Oh, my gosh, yes! Woden. Wait. Before I Forget, which one is that?
Did you forget about this conversation we had on the server?
Wait. Yeah. That's the, her memory is fading through the course of the game, right?
You, a long time ago, you shared in the season of golf that you had played these games. And then I shared shortly after that I played those games. And you were like, what? I literally just played these games.
Yes. Okay. I remember that so clearly now. Oh my gosh.
You thought I was trolling you.
Yes. It's like, what's going on here?
But yes, I've not been playing those again. I mean, they're okay, but not good enough to play again. I've been playing Crescent Bay, which is like this little detective game where you have to use your notebook to kind of cobble together different words so that it corresponds to something that happened that night, I liked it. It was kind of cool. It was very short too, so definitely worth a play if you ask me, and if you like detective stuff. Then I played this other game called Kapoka. I don't know how to pronounce that, but it was a game about this little bird in this totalitarian city state. You're kind of just,
yeah. I love where computer games are at, where you can say that sentence and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a game someone would make.
Yep.
You're a bird in a totalitarian city state, of course.
Yeah. Oh, and you are just, you're just flying around, building your nest, listening to all these people and their struggles and their rebellion and whatever else, sickness and yeah. All that stuff. So that was not a very good game, but it was okay. And then today I played this game called Roombo First Blood, which was like... Oh, you played this?
Yes, I have.
You control this little robot vacuum cleaner, and you kind of try to... Let's be real, murder some intruders coming in from all the windows before they steal all your valuable items. And it's very, very brutal, to be honest. There's a lot of blood. And then when you kill all of them, you have to clean it all up, or however much you can clean up in the 30 seconds you get. It was, in the beginning, it was kind of good, but then it kind of just became really weird and not very good anymore. Because there were so many people in the end that it just was really repetitive. And the house was the same every time.
I think a lot of games that are smart with their mechanics are games that are, sort of like gradually introducing stuff and then mixing those things and then kind of make them more interesting. But if I remember right with Roombo, you just kind of do the same thing over and over again. There just are more bad guys.
Yeah.
Yes. And there were these three kind of bonus levels in the end that really just made it even weirder, because in one of the levels, everyone was just invisible.
Oh.
And you could only see their footsteps. And then in one of them, they were all just tiny guys. And then in the last one, there were just knives all over the floor. I don't even know what's going on. They were weird, but the first couple of levels are pretty good, I'd say. Kind of satisfying cleaning up all the blood.
Well, you're making me think of, I tried Ghost Runners 2. I don't know, a month ago. And I had that same experience where the gameplay is cool, but I played it for an hour and I was like, oh, this is it. I'm not getting any more abilities or mechanics, or I'm going to fly between combat arenas for 12 hours and do the same three moves. And that's the game. Those three moves better be really, really good.
Breath of the Wild, it's a crazy different example, but if your mechanics are interesting enough to carry a whole game, that's great, which I'm sure is the goal of every game developer. But then you get something like Roombo, or that was what I also thought about the first Ghost Runner game. I don't know. It seems like they play all their cards in the first, half hour. Yep. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to keep, rinse, repeat until this game's over kind of thing.
Nah.
And
yeah.
It's boring.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention in Humble Trove, I don't know if it's still there.
Are you going to talk about Wilmot's Warehouse?
No, but everyone should play that game. I have a YouTube video about that game. That game is amazing. Everyone should play
I played it, but it was kind of, it was stressed me out a little bit.
It's very stressful.
What's it and called? That's a good thing?
It's Wilmot's Warehouse. And you're a little cube that is organizing other cubes in a warehouse, and you only have so much time to do it. And they drop a big pallet. You got to go organize your stuff before the time runs out. Because then when time runs out, people start ordering things. Then you got to go get those things and bring it back within the time limit. And it's so stressful. And
it sounds stressful.
I don't. Is there an end state in that game?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if I beat it then.
I think that's a no.
I sure didn't. I lost.
It wouldn't be a big deal, except, if there was 10 different items you're organizing, there's it feels like there's hundreds. You keep getting new stuff. You're I don't have room for this anymore. You have to rework how everything is organized. Oh my gosh. I really enjoyed that game. But I was going to say, for a city builder, there's a game in the trove called 20 Minute Metropolis. That is it's maybe a SimCity light, and it's very, very simple, very, very you're just building roads and generating resources, and it's just very quick, very uncomplicated. But you know what? That is a great game to play for 20 minutes. Much more so than Mortal Shell. So that's a fun one.
So play City Builder Lite instead of Mortal Shell.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, noted. I might add it to my list then.
So we'll get into the topic now. The topic again is what makes us add to cart. And it's as simple as it sounds. Retail therapy might be another way to put it.
sometimes maybe you feel like, you know, maybe it's kind of been a sad day. Maybe you're having a hard week or something. And you say, I'm going to go buy that game or buy that. Maybe there's that Lego set that's on sale or whatever your hobby is, whatever thing it is. What is it that causes you to add something to the cart and to purchase it? One of the reasons that my backlog is as large as it is, really how it started for me was buying games on sale. It's like I would check the historical price of a game I was interested in. And then whenever I'd see it on sale, and then I'd say, oh my gosh, I've never seen this game so cheap before. What if it's not this cheap again? And I know I want to play it, so I'm just going to go ahead and get it now.
This is a phenomenon that I would like to call traps.
Traps. We have a great emote in the server that exemplifies that perfectly. Stuff like Bioshock Infinite or Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas.
Have you not played Bioshock Infinite?
I have. Okay. That was back in the day when I would play the games I bought in a reasonable amount of time. So that was my issue, kind of buying games that'd be on sale. Let's kind of switch the topic around a little bit. So for the rest of you, is hype a thing for you, or do you not feel sucked into hype?
I think I'm the worst culprit of hype in this group of four, at least.
I agree with that.
I don't like the way you said that. That's too fast.
Shade.
I think that I watch a lot of YouTube. I have like just several channels that I like to follow, like Krim Krimbo. Have you heard of this guy?
And subscribe.
Real washed up YouTuber.
Honestly, let's look at his channel's basically dead, dude. So when game people that I like are playing a game and they seem to like it, that sucks me in, and I start watching reviews and I start watching gameplay, and I'm like it. I just get drawn in by the hype. And it does get like lodged in my brain. Like I was talking, like the thing with Space Marine 2, that's not unique to Space Marine 2. The games that I have in my backlog are because I got sucked into the hype, but the game ended up not being as good as I wanted it to be. But the hype.
So you played most of your games in your backlog, just to get this straight.
I do not finish them if I don't.
No,
like
but
it.
You have played it.
Yeah, I buy it. Okay. I play it when I buy it. Other than Space Marine 2. I buy it and I play it. And sometimes I get halfway through or less than halfway through and I fall off. And that is what it is. Every once in a while, there'll be something that I truly don't touch. But that's pretty rare.
And sometimes you get games that you can't play.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I will play though. That's the most annoying part about this whole stupid journey is I would play this straight through. I would love to play the campaign mode. It'd be my favorite thing to do right now.
Bagu is big on the hype, and I know this is true because I might wake up and see an article from PC Gamer about
shut up
some new thing that's coming out, and I will see that and I will think, but we just started this game. I know I do the exact same thing.
You do, man.
So what about USR? Is hype something that you get caught up in, or are you just like I'm only interested in what I'm interested in?
I'm a bit of a weird mix because I'll get hyped for some things. Mostly cozy games. I follow a couple of cozy game content creators, and if they get really excited about something, I'll get really excited about it. I also have this really strong dislike of buying games full price. So I'll get super hyped about something, watch people playing it for a long time, and then wait for a sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I also will not buy something until I have seen, there's these two guys who do Switch content, Switch Up and Switch Corner. And until I've seen Switch Up do the technical review, I am not touching it because they are brutally honest. And I can usually decide if a game is better to wait for PC or to get on Switch based on what they have to say.
Do they cover a lot of games?
I don't know if I've ever run into a game that SwitchUp has not at least done a technical review on. Like, not, I don't mean like not the trash stuff, obviously, mm-hmm. but the actual ones. So there's a game coming out at the end of this month that I am waiting for them to do because I want it. It's Amber Isle, and it just came out on PC today, but I want it on Switch. It's basically Dinosaur Animal Crossing. And I
Well, you I'm were telling us about this last that. Episode.
Was I?
No.
Well,
it is a dinosaur game. She has all the dinosaur about? Games.
Okay. I do like dinosaur games. Dinosaur Animal Crossing, and it is coming out at the end of the month for Switch, and I want it, but I have to wait to see what the Switch Up guys say because I have some fears that it will not run well.
So you're gonna buy it and you're gonna play it if it runs well. You're like same day when you buy it.
Yes, but I also might not buy it until it goes on sale.
Mm-hmm. Which so is I might, different. I, is that different from past Asara?
No, I've never been one to buy a game first day unless it's something like, I mean, I bought Animal Crossing first day, but the pandemic again around that was a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all
there's
did.
Not much, there's not much I buy first day. Unless something's at least 20% off, I kind of look at it with more of a, no, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, Nikki, tell me why I shouldn't be a hype gamer.
I do not care about hype at all.
The game... Oh my gosh. But what about like the internet hype? Like there's also a part of the hype that lets you be a part of the gaming community experiencing something together. Like that was a big, it's like Helldivers is a good example of that. Like the first 3 months of Helldivers, like there were memes and TikToks and YouTube videos coming out from every single creator. Like it was a whole thing. It wasn't just that you were playing a game that you liked, which you did. It was you were involved in this whole community around the game as well because you knew what it was. Mm-hmm. How can you turn that down?
I think this might be the reason that I started the Backlog Club in the first place, so that I can do that with my old-ass games, or just old games.
Well, that's a pretty good reason. That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I also don't care at all about the like, oh, everybody's playing this game, I need to play it to fit in. I have never cared about that, so that's not something that takes me into wanting to buy something either.
I find if I'm hyped about it, I'm probably on social media too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's fair.
Which I'm not saying that's true for you. 100% that's true for me, because I remember exactly what you're talking about when Helldivers 2, when it first came out, I would see these like amazing TikToks of like, you know, these soldiers saluting as like a nuclear bomb exploded way off in the distance. And then they'd like hug each other afterward. And I thought, that's so fun. It just looked awesome. And I was like, I want to get in on this, you know? And then, yeah, all the memes on the subreddit, I didn't understand anything that they were talking about. But there's like this whole community based off this game that just came out. And it seemed really cool.
The funny thing with Helldivers 2 is I have never played that game, but I know the lore for the first probably 3 months of that game, like the back of my hand. And I know every war. I know every planet that got taken. I know everything about it. Never have played it.
So, Nick, you don't care about hype.
Nope.
Okay, but you still have a bigger backlog than I do. So why are you buying those games?
See, my hype, when I get hyped, okay, so I do get hyped, but not because other people are hyped. I just, I go in watching some random YouTube video, let's say that, and I watch this video, and then this person in the video starts talking about this 20-year-old game, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh my god, that looks amazing. I need this. And then I just sit here by myself in my chair, and I'm hyped for this 20-year-old game. And that's how my backlog kind of happened.
Yeah, you guys.
That and Humble.
You guys really, really need to see the look in her eyes when she sees this old game that she's heard of and just realizes she can get. It's like a kid in a candy store.
That's incredible.
Oh no. I feel cold out.
I'm trying to imagine like you're watching like a video for City Skylines 2. You're like, whatever. But then the creator's like, but have you played SimCity 2000?
Oh my god, yes.
Have you played SimCity on the Super Nintendo?
Yes. This is me. And then I'm like, oh my god, I need to play this. And then I search all over eBay to find this game and I need to get it.
Really? Yes. That's so fascinating to me. So is it like the retro-ness of that game, or what is it?
I don't know. It's not always retro games. It can be a game on Steam from 2017. Like, it can be anything. It just doesn't, the age doesn't matter. I think what matters is that I'm watching whatever I'm watching or reading whatever I'm reading. And then suddenly this game just opens my eyes and I'm like, I need this in my life.
Interesting.
You see the light of SimCity 2000.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever watch any videos from Jacob Geller?
No.
Okay, he does these great, great video essays. They're not on video games, like, sometimes he does stuff on like history or literature. I remember he'd make these games about these like super obscure, oh, they're in the Trove, super really? Obscure games. And I played one of them because the way he talked about it, I was like, what is this? And then like I went and played it, and yeah, it's like really weird and different.
I should do that. Yeah, I love weird games. Like anything that's different from other games, that's my jam.
Yeah, I know that I get really excited about games in certain genres. Specifically for me, I'm a sucker for puzzle games and I'm a sucker for Souls-like games.
Yep. Even bad Souls. Like, sorry, I know you have more to say, but like I remember talking about The Surge and I was like, dude, that's not going to be good. And you were like, but it's a Souls-like.
Yeah, I had to know.
Oh, man.
I beat it, though.
You did?
That's three Souls-likes that I beat this year. Oh, yeah. So, like, yeah, if one of those, if, like, a new Souls-like comes out, like, Lies of P, is it Pi? I think it's just Lies of P.
I think it's P.
But it's a Souls-like set in, like, a gothic horror setting a la Bloodborne. I cannot wait to play that. I'm going to get that at some point soon. But in terms of like a franchise, I will instant buy. I will instant buy anything From Software makes. And then I will instant buy anything that id Software makes, especially with how good Doom 2016 was, Doom Eternal, Doom the Dark Ages. I'm so freaking hyped for it. I will add that thing to cart the second it comes out. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You put skulls in like a gun that has a grinder on it and it grinds up the skull and then shoots out the shrapnel.
That's incredible. Like what more Doom can you ask for?
Oh my gosh.
It's so good. So is your question, what are our genres, or do we have the same?
Yeah, I mean, like, tendency? I mean, this is for you, for anyone. Is there like, you know, a genre that you're just kind of glued to and you like buy up those games? Is there like a franchise that that's the case with you all? Like, how does that work?
I can start. I'm a huge genre person. Like I love turn-based almost anything. It may take the most boring game in the world, make it be in turns instead of real time, and it's probably going to be my thing. Like turn-based and strategy games, I just devour. And I'm like scrolling through my Steam library. Like there's so many,
there's so many fun
turn-based and strategy games just littered through here.
Wait, did you play Beyond Earth? Civilization.
Beyond Earth.
Civilization. Beyond Earth.
Yeah.
I did.
Really? Did you like it?
I wanted it to be good. Like I will maintain that there are the bones of a good game in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many cool ideas, there's so many interesting things. It did not land.
It's just not a good game.
It's not.
Okay. I was just worried for a second that you would be like, oh, this is my favorite game. And I was like,
No. But my most played, all of my most plays in my library are either shooters that I've been playing with friends or strategy games. So like all the Total War games, like I have 600 hours in Civ 5. Between the three Total War Warhammers, I have about 1,000 hours, it looks like. Age of Wonders, Divinity Original Sin 2, lots of Total, yeah. Like any Total War, any strategy thing, I'm going to just devour the second it comes out. And I'm helpless. I can look at it and do the same thing I did to Chris, where it's like, look, this is the surge of strategy games. It's a good idea that's going to suck. But I'm still going to buy it. I'm still going to play it for like 50 hours.
I think for me, it's first and foremost, something with dinosaurs in it. That is genre spanning. It could be something I normally hate. And if there are dinosaurs, it's going to get bought.
Wait, did you play the old Jurassic Park real-time strategy game from like 2005?
Oh my God, I just bought this.
Did you really?
Oh, is that the one that we got at the store the other day?
Yeah. Operation Genesis? I literally just bought this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bought this 5 days ago.
Incredible. Yeah.
Wow.
Just incredible. Sorry,
to play
on.
With her.
First and foremost is dinosaurs. Literally to the point where I will be looking at a game and Nikki will be like, you don't need another farming sim. And I'll be like, but it's dinosaurs.
I'm farming dinosaurs.
But I can have a dinosaur on my farm. But yeah, that, but also deck builders, Vampire Survivor likes, and Colony Sims. Those three are the ones that get me the most.
So you like Slay the Spire, obviously. Yes. You like Monster Train.
Yes.
Wild
Frost.
Oh, yes. I haven't played that one. I want to, though. And so you've also played Ring of Pain?
Yes. I have bought so many, because when Vampire Survivors came out, so many people jumped on that. And yep. I have bought so many of them. My favorite has to be Bone Razor Minions, though.
So something that I didn't want to say on buying games that I think is a real like, look, everyone buy what you want to buy, live your life, budget wisely, don't spend your life savings, but yeah, do what you will do. However, the one thing that I have noticed, so like my wife and I had, like we got some bad news last week. And so last week was really rough. And so the reason that I spent $100 on games that I didn't plan on buying was because I just was like, look, I need a dopamine hit. And this is an easy way to give me a dopamine hit and give me something to do while I have to sit at home for a while. So I'm going to buy all these games. And that's one of those where it's like, you know, maybe that principle you talked about earlier of like Frostpunk 2, I wanted to get it eventually. I was going to get it on sale down the road. But like, I did not sit and think for a week on, do I really want this game? Is it worth the money now? Would it be wiser to wait for it to go on sale? Like that, like I think that pure emotion driven buying of like, I need a dopamine hit, I'm going to spend money on games, was like a little worrying to me last week. I was like, I don't know that that's healthy necessarily, but
yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that, you know, one of the nice things about entertainment is it can kind of like help to fill some of those like voids. Like it's not always for like killing an hour before you go to sleep. Sometimes it's about like, you know, you're legitimately having a hard time and, you know, games can speak into that in some instance. I think the problem definitely can be like, I'm going to this thing for my, I don't know, like my comfort or like my resolution of something that's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find sometimes I realize some of the things that drive me in life is I get excited for the next big event. Like I used to run this thing called Cabin Con where I'd, you know, have 20 people come to this thing. We'd rent out a cabin and have like tons and like, I don't know, 200 board games there. And everyone would be like playing board games and like eating food and just hanging out. And every single year I'd look forward to it. So it'd basically be like when it was over, I was already looking forward to the next one. And I think like that's like fine or whatever. But like, I don't know. It's like our motivation shouldn't be necessarily when's the next fun thing.
Yep.
And I've felt that sometimes in the games arena as well, for sure.
It's definitely the reason my backlog is so out of control, is that that is my stress response, is to go buy some crappy little $2 game on the eShop.
No longer.
Not anymore. But that has been the reason and is the reason why there's so much trash in my backlog.
Oh, you even admitted it.
Yeah.
Can you name any of those games that have like 17 words on the title?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. 2 seconds. I got it. I know that the Shinobi one. I got that one.
Yeah.
The Tales of Shinobi Fantasy Magic Anime World Fight RPG Simulator.
This is what we call traps.
Nicky's just sitting back like, I told you. Traps.
That one cost a whole nickel.
I don't know if we have enough time in the edit of this podcast for you to read that name again.
And I think like what's interesting is then the backlog grows, and then it just instead of like something you're excited about. I mean, I don't know about you guys. If I have just finished a game and I'm looking for the next game to play, sometimes I just sit there and scroll through, not YouTube, not Reddit, through my backlog library.
Oh, yeah.
And I just scroll and scroll and nothing sounds good. And then the night ends and I think, wow, that was a waste. What a waste. You guys do that?
Maybe it's just me. And mine takes a hot minute to scroll through too.
Yeah.
Starting at Steam and then going onto your Switch to scroll through all of that, mm-hmm. and that's slow. And then what? Game Pass.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like, you know, it's supposed to be something that's fun that you can enjoy, and it turns into, you know, another thing that could be causing some sort of stress or some sort of like unease, like what am I going to do with this? It's almost like you're looking at all the money that you've spent and you think like, man, I feel like I need to do something with this. I don't know. So it's a weird thing. And especially it's not something you can just like sell off in a lot of cases if you have a lot of digital games. So it's like this weird thing. It's like, what do you do with this? I don't know.
And that's why we're doing the 30 games in 30 days.
Yes. So I guess the practical takeaways from this is, before you buy something, tell everyone in the Discord that what you want to buy, and then they will send you seal gifts, and they will send you the traps. Emote and
Nikki with the Devo hat on.
Yeah. Yes.
Judgment.
Yeah. So hear it from us addicts. You know, there's a way to fix this. Don't buy the games. And, you know, be thoughtful. And I think accountability is a big part of that as well.
Don't buy the games for the sake of buying games. If you're going to play it, you can buy it. That's my new rule.
There you go.
Well, look, you guys follow up with me after Black Friday and I get a new computer, and you can say, Andrew, you playing Space Marine 2 yet? And if I say no, you can yell at me all day long.
We will.
Yep.
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
All the listeners can too. Whenever our next episode after Black Friday is, we'll be like, hey, are you you playing that Space Marine? And you say no, the comments will just be full of like,
just light me up. Also, this is Asara tacitly agreeing to keep doing the podcast, which is great. That's what I heard.
Asara, you reminded me of my other add to cart, which is whenever there is a big Steam sale, not on r/gamedeals, but r/gamedealsmeta. Oh. Someone makes a thread. Someone makes a thread. Problem. Now listen, the game deals thread, they do a daily like Steam sale thread. What's everyone talking about there?
Oh, have you seen Assassin's Creed is on sale?
Oh, or they'll be like,
have you played Civilization 4?
Which is way better than 5 and 6, by the way. What I love about the game deals meta threads, it's like a hidden gems recommendation thread. So someone, all these people go through and they pick out these very, very unknown indie games and they recommend them. And usually it's a lot of puzzle games. And I've added so many little puzzle games that I have played a lot of them, by the way. I just want to say that. And they're usually fairly inexpensive because they're just smaller titles from smaller developers. So a lot of really good stuff in there. You can just literally just go Google hidden gems recommendations, game deals meta. If you're looking for some really good titles.
Chris, so yes. I love doing this podcast with you, but why are you recommending this to us?
Well,
yeah, we are already addicts.
I realized yeah, guys, so just stop buying games. Anyway, you should start buying some of these games.
Exactly.
we're trying to do this? No, you.
Listen, I'm just trying to help everybody make good purchases.
Make good choices. Buy the games I tell you to buy, not the games that you want to go buy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me.
No, wait. I have a question, actually.
Yes.
So we all know that Andrew caved in on Space Marine.
Yeah.
What about all the rest of you? Like, what is the most recent game that you've caved on?
Great Q.
Can't just let him sail in his boat by himself.
I tell you what, it's going to be the second the deadlock puts like skins in the game, Chris is going to drop like $300 on this game. I can feel it.
I will probably buy skins.
What's all right? Don't distract. Don't let us distract you. The three of you. What's the game you most recently caved on?
Like if it's not Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which it is probably UFO 50.
That sounds like it was a good buy, though. I've looked at that.
I'm still playing it. It's so fun.
I don't remember what my last one was. It's going to be Amber Isle when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing I was going to cave on was Unicorn Overlord, and then I never did get that. So
nice.
I was saving up for that and saying, you know, I'm just going to beat these games, and if I beat X number of games, I can buy Unicorn Overlord. And then when it came to it, I was like, I don't have the time to play this right now, and I didn't get it. So I honestly cannot remember what my last cave was.
For me, I caved on a game actually this week. I'm not proud about it. And honestly, it's not even a game that I'm particularly excited about. And I think this goes back to the conversation about which games we're kind of always getting whenever we see them somewhere. And for me, that's mystery and detective games. And I have, for the longest time, been a fan of the Sherlock Holmes series from like the older games too. And since in recent times, those games have changed a bit, to say the least. And I caved on one of the newer games, just so I can talk badly about it once I play it.
So, things we have going on in the server Backlog Golf Season 4, so our last session of golf for the year that just started about a week and a half ago. And my goal, by the way, is to break even, and that's where I'm working towards right now. Book Club Golf just started. Did that also start at the very beginning of the month?
Yep, kind of. Okay. I was a little bit late, but yeah, pretty much.
Book
Club Golf Season 2, baby.
Yep. And Backlog Club is currently playing Death Stranding.
Correct.
and we'll be picking a new game on the 18th of October.
On the 18th? Or we'll be,
like, voting.
I'm just glad that I finally had the courage to nerf comics and manga.
I'm proud of you, and I do not envy your position at all whatsoever.
No, there's a couple of people that I know are not going to be happy because they've said I won't be happy. And I remember they listened to the podcast. Here's the deal. Books should be worth so many more points than comics, and I regret nothing. I have no remorse. I do not feel bad.
Hey, sometimes you got to burn stuff to the ground. Sometimes you got to do
like, if you read, so a comic was minus 1 point for every 3 comic books. But then I'd read literally, I'd read 1,200 pages of Stormlight Archive, which is like, even if I stop playing games and only read, it's like a couple weeks. Like, that's a lot of time reading to finish one book. And I'd score like negative 20 points. And someone could spend an afternoon burning through comics. Yeah. And someone could spend an afternoon burning through comics and score negative 25 points. And it's like, I can't do it.
There needs to be some equalization there, 100%.
I'm not going to lie. When we first were talking about not nerfing the comics, I actually deleted my post for the season and put it back after we did nerf it. It was like there was no point for me.
Cold, but I respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyone new that's listening, we are talking about different events that are going on in our Discord server, which you can join from the link that is in the description. We run a number of talking actually a lot more about books right now, but we run a number of video game backlog events throughout the year, just give you an opportunity to find some accountability and just have fun playing games, talking about games with people. You're all kind of doing the same thing. Kind of feels like you're sort of like on a mission together, and that's, I don't know, kind of like a uniting sort of thing. So
that's a little teaser. Sarah and I have been working on the next big event for December, and it's gonna be good.
I look forward to this.
Bash is always the best.
These two always come up with this very, very intricate system for the December event, and I'm excited to see what it will be this year. Let's do some quick recommendations. I played disc golf on Sunday for the first time in my life. And it was a bunch of rated people from my church. They built a course, or they put down a, what do you call them? Net?
Baskets?
Baskets.
Nets.
I was gonna call them freaking nets.
Freaking guy.
And I used to play a bit in college, but like with an actual frisbee. And I actually had a really nice time. And so it was nice because you get to talk to people and walk around and you're outside. And that is not my favorite thing, to be outside. I love being indoors. So that is my recommendation for this week. Go touch grass.
Incredible.
Lovely.
Nikki, what you got for us?
I would like to recommend Play Night today, because during the 30 games, 30 days challenge, I have been finding games, especially also on the Humble Trove, finding games from all my platforms, and I want to play different ones. And I think Play Night, it's a backlogging tool, but it's not cloud-based like Backlogged and Infinite Backlog and all of those. But one thing I think it does really well is being a digital games launcher. Mm. And when you set that up, that works incredibly well.
Yeah, I back that up. Play Night is awesome. You can sync Steam, Epic Games Store, PSN, Xbox, lots of different platforms into one place. And there's a ton of plugins. There's a lot of tools. It's really cool if you like to mess around with stuff like that.
And you can also I mean, I found out that I had a pretty sizable backlog hidden somewhere in Humble that I just didn't know of because of Playnight. That, and also, if you are the type of person to play DOS games, like DOSBox image files, you can make that launch natively inside of Playnight so that you don't have to mess with DOSBox every time. Yeah.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
That's really good.
Agu, what do you got?
Yeah, I like I said, wife and I had a rough week, got some bad medical news. And I would just recommend that you have or invest in just some a community of humans in your area. Like have a community of people around you that you're involved with and you're plugged into and you live life with, because they're invaluable when life gets hard and you need people to support you. Like I love internet friends. Chris is one of my best internet friends, but Chris can't bring me a meal when life's hard. But yeah,
it's true.
Get some friends in your area.
I could send you a meal, but by the time it gets to you, it would be soggy.
It would be. It'd be pretty soggy.
Yep. Asara, do you have a recommendation that is hopefully not soggy?
It can't be soggy. I recommend a specific community server for a surprise dinosaur game that I play called Path of Titans. Path of Titans is a kind of like the Isle, I think. You play as a dinosaur living its life. But the server I want to recommend is called Ashfall Realism, where they have a whole bunch of rules for how each dinosaur species can act, so it's not just people running around murdering each other for no reason. And the community over there is really great, really well connected. They're all very friendly, and they do events where all the dinosaurs are related somehow to other dinosaurs on the server. So you build up the story, and when you finally lose one, either through territory challenges or hunting, it's kind of sad. But the community is just very solid. So if you do play Path of Titans or you're interested in a dinosaur survival game, look up the Ashfall Realism. They are a great bunch of folks.
And with that, so we are super thankful that you are listening. Check out the links in the description to find the Wilmot's Warehouse video on my YouTube channel. To find a link to our Discord server where you can join in and have fun with the people in our community. And if I could make another recommendation, it would be the people in our community, our server. They are great. They are funny. They are just gamers, and they love talking about games. And I do not believe they are sucked in by the hype, and they're just a bunch of awesome people.
Really so supportive as well.
Yeah, super supportive. So it's a great place to be, and would love to have you join. We look forward to talking again during our spooky episode that will be coming out next time.
Why, Chris? Why?
That was so creepy.
It will be the scariest episode you've ever heard.
Are you gonna do a recap of that like demo disc of really bad scary games?
Oh my gosh, I have actually thought about if they release another demo disc, doing like a live stream of that or something. That'd be so fun.
Thank you. That was hilarious. That was so good. Please do.
Oh man, I still have like I sometimes think about that. I'm like, oh, that's so weird. So many weird.
Ian watched you play those.
Yeah. If that happens, you will see that on the YouTube channel as a live stream, and we will probably talk about it in the Discord server if it ends up happening. That might be on the horizon as well. That is it for this week's episode. And that's it. Sign off. Bye.
Adios.
Bye-bye. Good night.